Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Productivity Project, the podcast hosted by me, Kat, that helps you get the things you need and want to do done and done well in less time. I'm back on the pod solo this week after last week's episode, where I was so thrilled to host my first guest, Nikki from Slow Coaching Co., who shared her story with us and spoke about how she broke up with busy, overcame burnout, and is now living a life where the living of the life comes first. I love that. Despite juggling two businesses, a full-time role, and being a mum to two boys. So if you haven't listened yet, definitely check that episode out after you listen to this one. I think you'll really enjoy it. This week, I wanted to talk about time auditing. Sounds incredibly exciting. Time auditing has become very popular as a technique to improve our time management and productivity. So time auditing, it basically is what it says on the tin. It is where you would sit down with your day stretched out in front of you and a notepad and a pen or a spreadsheet based on how you like to work, and you would basically track every minute of how you use your time. Now, why would anyone do this? I hear you asking. Why would anyone subject themselves to this? Well, it is fairly popular as a time management technique because even when it comes to productivity and improving our productivity and improving the way we manage our time, data, as boring as it sounds, is important. Because when it comes to improving anything, whether it's productivity or whether it's, you know, your weekday lunches or how much time you spend at the beach or your exercise routine, until you have a clear picture of what your current situation looks like, it's really difficult to feel like you're able to sustainably implement any improvements without just stabbing in the dark or, you know, just throwing grated cheese at the wall and hoping it sticks. I've never tried that. So, people turn to time auditing. I used to be one of those people. I would get into a productivity slump where I felt like I was foggy and I wasn't achieving the things I wanted to achieve and I couldn't get things done and why me? And this is very sad. And I would cry into a bowl of ice cream before I decided, no, tomorrow I'm tracking every second of my time and I'm finding out where all this time is going and why don't I have enough time and what is going on with me? But the problem with tracking your time, and I feel like this could be glaringly obvious to some of you, but it took me a long time to realize, is that when you're at the point of tracking your time, if you've decided, okay, I'm going to track my time, I'm doing this, you're generally at a point where you know you want to change something about the way you use your time. You want to improve something about the way you use your time, or you want to find out something about the way you're using your time. So you already really have an idea that the way you are spending your time is not the way you want to spend it. And often minutely tracking our time to the last detail, number one, it can be stressful because if we're already really busy, it's another thing that we have to do. We have to remember to write down when we go to the toilet to take a shit or how much time we spend scrolling on social media or the minutes we spend chatting to our partner when they get home from work. Like, nobody wants to do that, guys. Like, honestly, that is very sad. I'm sorry. It's not sad if you have tried it because I have tried it. I've done it multiple times before. Sad is a strong word, but when it comes to using time tracking as a tool to kind of improve our time management, yes, it can give us a good picture of how we're spending our time, but does it really give us any incentive for sustainable change when it comes to how productive we were? You know, I think tracking our time, it's great to kind of confirm a hypothesis, or what is that theory called where it's basically confirmation bias. Yes. So if you already have an idea that you are not using your time in the way that you would like to use it, or, you know, you are not achieving the things that you would like to achieve in any given day, time tracking or time auditing can confirm that for you. And you can confirm that, yes, I do spend 3 hours on social media as per my phone stats. Yes, I did spend half an hour, you know, in the kitchen chatting to my my partner at lunchtime instead of, I don't know, powering through and writing some article that I was supposed to write. So it can tell you what you already know. But the problem is that it's often the wrong metric for us to reflect on when it comes to trying to improve our productivity. And when I talk about productivity, you guys will know if you have listened to me for a while, productivity is not getting on a hamster wheel and churning and burning from the time the sun rises till the time it sets and getting through as much as you can and berating yourself if you don't and putting in more hours just to get the thing done and slogging away. Wow, that was a very long definition. It's not that in this podcast. So if that is the kind of productivity that you want to kind of strive toward, or you want to work all the hours, or you want to beat yourself up when you don't get something done, this might not be the podcast for you. So when we talk about looking at a metric to improve our productivity, the productivity we are thinking about is getting the things that we need and want to do done and done well. Note, not done perfectly, done well, in less time. If that is the productivity we are looking to improve, then we actually need to be looking at auditing our own personal productivity and what really makes us shine, what makes us thrive, what makes us get into flow, what gets us excited, and at the same time, what makes us slump. So what does not help us get the things done that we want or need to do. And honestly, when I started doing this myself, instead of just minutely focusing on auditing my time and berating myself for how much time I, you know, spent on the toilet or scrolling, which literally just told me the thing that I pretty much already knew, otherwise I wouldn't have been auditing my time in the first place. Instead of that, it gives me a really clear picture of the way I actually enjoy working, what lights me up, what helps to get me into a really nicely productive state where I feel good while I'm working. You know, I don't feel stressed, I don't feel anxious, I don't feel like I'm exhausting myself, but at the same time, I'm still getting those key things that I know that I need to do for that day or that week or whatever period it is done. And done well, and I'm moving forward without using up all of the time I have in my day and impacting the other goals I have in my life. You know, for example, like exercising, spending time with my kids, doing something that's just none of those things. Not everything has to have a category. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the host was talking about, you know, decreasing the time you spend working to spend your spare time with your kids. And it was lovely, but it kind of just like sparked a thought with me, like not all of our time has to be used on something all the time. And it's really hard to get away from that, especially these days, listen to me, like back in my day, especially now when we have so many elements to our life. We have so many categories of person that we are throughout any given day. It can be hard to feel like we are, you know, just able to just be without even allocating our time to anything. So I think when it comes to auditing our time, this is where it can also be a problem, because we can feel like if we're doing nothing, that we don't even know what category to put that in. You know, if we're just sitting outside looking at the birds, like, where do we put that? What do we categorize that under? Are we categorizing that as kids or self-care or work, or what are we doing? Whereas auditing our productivity and looking at how we actually like to work and how implementing our own productivity principles and systems to help us do the do and get back to the living of the life, like my friend Nikki said last week. Anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent, but hopefully you gleaned something from it. And now that I have waffled on, we are going to jump in to the meat and three veg of this episode. Sorry for anyone who is vegan and listening. I apologize. We can just go with the three veg. So why do we look at auditing our productivity in the first place. So if we want to improve how productive we are, using the definition of productivity we've talked about, then we actually need to be looking at auditing what makes us shine and what suits our own personal productivity, because there is no point trying to work with someone else's schedule, routine, planner, or system if it includes things that just don't suit your unique working style or your most productive window or your lifestyle factors. I'm going to give you an example. For example, if you were mapping out a morning routine for someone, you would not map out the same morning routine for a person with kids and a person without kids, because you would know that the person with kids would not be able to achieve any of the things on the morning routine list that the person without kids would be able to. You know, the person with kids might be able to do maybe like two of the things, and two of the things might suit their unique situation. So if their kids wake up at six and they're happy to chat to themselves in their cots or whatever, or they're kind of school age and can get their own breakfast, then maybe you could do like a little workout, or you could have your shower and, you know, without anybody barging in and throwing, you know, tampons at you, for instance. That's never happened to me. And gosh, where was I going with this? Anyway, my point is, someone else's routine will not necessarily work for you, because everybody has different lifestyle factors, different influences in their lives, and everybody likes to work in a different way. So even if the person with kids, for example, had, you know, angel unicorn babies that slept until 8 a.m. every day, and I don't know, toddlers that got up and completely dressed themselves and helped themselves to Cheerios and turned the TV on themselves, they might be able to achieve that routine, but they might not like working out in the morning. That might not be something that suits their body. It might exhaust them. They might not be ready to wake up at 6 a.m. to get all of that done. So the problem that happens when we try and slot ourselves in similarly to a productivity system or a productivity framework, or even things, simple things like time blocking or, you know, a certain type of to-do list or a planner, is that if it's not right for us, if it doesn't suit our unique working style and our natural flow window and the actual tasks that we have to do or we want to do, then it's not going to work. So what are the three things we need to look at when it comes to auditing our productivity? Now, bear in mind, this is pre-installing any kind of productivity framework or system into your business or into your working day. This is the phase that comes before we do that. So this is the fundamental data we're going to work from when it comes to figuring out what type of framework or productivity hacks or time management, anything we're going to look at integrating. Because when you really get to know yourself and your unique style when it comes to being productive, instead of just trialing and erroring desperately like a pissed off chef who's, you know, spending all his time throwing spaghetti at the wall, we can actually start using productivity practices that work for us. So the first thing we want to look at when we are doing a productivity audit is looking at our natural energy flow or our natural energy window and the environmental factors that really help support this. So for example, you've probably have some vague idea of whether you are more productive in the morning, in the afternoon. Like, I don't know many people that are more productive in the afternoon. I do tend to have a burst of creative energy in the afternoon, like later afternoon. For example, I'm recording this podcast and it's 4:15. But that mid-afternoon window, like, you can basically count on nothing from me. Anyway, so paying attention to when you actually work best. You may have packed a lot of work into your mornings typically because you think that that is the best time to be productive because everybody says so. But have you actually paid attention to whether it is your best time to be productive? And even if it is, what kind of work suits you best in the morning? For example, you might find it really motivating to get some shorter tasks done in the morning, say some of your 30-minute tasks. You may find it motivating to, if you need to make calls or, you know, you have meetings, to schedule those in the morning when you have the energy to do them, and then you schedule a break afterwards so that you can kind of recoup some of that energy you've used. You may find it helpful to, as you move through your day, if you do map your tasks to your calendar, just making a little note in each of the calendar invites just to say how you felt at the time. So when it came to your energy, did you feel energized before, after, during? Just make a note about your energy throughout the day and see what that looks like at the end of the day. Some of the answers might surprise you. You also may have set your day up in a really structured way when it comes to your work hours. So typically, we have always been conditioned that we work from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there have been studies done on and productivity throughout a 9 to 5 workday. And most of those studies have averaged about 3 to 4 hours a day is the most in terms of focused, productive work that we can muster in an 8-hour workday. And that is because we were not designed to sit at a desk from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and deliver the same output minute after minute, hour after hour. That is just not how our brains work. So paying attention to when might suit you to work. You might not enjoy working in the afternoon. You might find it exhausting, but you might be trying to push through that afternoon period because you feel like that's what the calendar says in terms of when you should work, or you might only have that time to work if you have to work around your children or your family or other commitments. But just take a note and really spend some time over a week looking at when your energy peaks, when it dips, when you're feeling most creative, when you're feeling most admin-y or process-y. I know there's a technical term for that type of work, but I'm going to go with admin-y or process-y. So that is the first area to audit when it comes to looking at your productivity. The next thing to look at, and this is where most of us, including me, usually go awry when it comes to planning out our day or our week, is aligning your time to task expectations. So hands up, not if you're driving maybe, I'll put one hand up. Anyway, hands up if you have ever scheduled a task and it has taken you way longer than the time you've scheduled. I have my hand up. And hands up if you've ever thought a task would take you, say, a couple of hours to complete. So you put it off and put it off and put it off because you kept telling yourself you didn't have time to do it. And then you actually sat down and did it one day and it really only took you maybe about 20 to 30 minutes to do. I also have my hand up. Even if we do plan out our weeks or our days by task or by project or however it is that you like to plan, often we have a really distorted perspective on how much time things are actually taking us. So you might think that it will take you an hour to write your newsletter, but it might really be that you are spending 2 hours on it. Or you might think that you can get a PDF designed for a client in 2 hours, but really because of the information you need to gather and the research you need to do and images you need to source, for example, it might take you half a day to do. And what happens is when we map out our week or our calendar with rough ideas and guesses in mind, what usually happens is our calendar then blows out and we move everything from the next day to the next week and we spiral into a perilous sense of failed hope when it comes to ever being able to get anything done ever again, which is known as overload or a mental breakdown. Anyway, so this area has whiffs of time auditing or time tracking in it, but stay with me. When it comes to tasks that you are doing through your day, when it comes to your work day, and this avoids you having to track all of your time, but it means just kind of looking at some of the things you're doing. When it comes to the tasks that you are doing, take note of how much time each of your tasks that you do is actually taking you. So, for example, this morning I wrote an EDM for a client. I had been putting it off through the week because I had in my head that I would need this specific amount of time to do it. And when I actually sat down and did it, I paid attention to how long it took me, and it took me about 29 minutes. Okay, so roughly half an hour. I had in my head that it was going to take me 2 hours to do, but because I have quite a big history with this client, I'm used to writing for her, I have lots of context, I had lots of images ready to go, I was primed and prepped to do it, it took me 30 minutes. So the time that I would have allocated to that, it didn't need to be 2 hours. I wouldn't have known that unless I had paid attention to how much time it took. So take note, just even in your calendar, if you don't already do it, adjust your time blocks or whatever you use to track what you do through the day. If you don't use anything, then maybe just write it down on a piece of paper through the day as you go, how much time your tasks are taking you. And that will give you a really good idea in terms of the way you're aligning your time to task expectations. So often this translates in two ways. It might be that you are able to get a lot of these things that kind of gather at the back of our minds and fester on our to-do list. It might be that you get a pleasant surprise in that some of those things may not take you as long as you thought. Some of them may not be the hurdles you thought that you had to climb. And so you may end up getting some things done even more quickly or using less time than you thought. On the other hand, it may be that a lot of the work you are doing, you are grossly underestimating the time it's taking you. And so that may mean communicating with your clients or your audience in terms of the time that you need to deliver that task. And if that's not by tomorrow, then that's not by tomorrow. I think we have a real urgency culture when it comes to how quickly we feel like we need to deliver something. And often putting those boundaries in place and setting those expectations with our clients and our audiences is something we don't do out of fear, because, you know, we don't want our clients to go elsewhere or we don't want our audience to ditch us. But most of the time, those things don't happen. And if they do, then maybe they weren't the clients or the audience for us in the first place. And the third thing to audit when it comes to your productivity are your routines and habits and how these are supporting your ability to get the things that you need to do and want to do done well in the least amount of time possible, or whether they are hindering this. So for example, it's just observing. Instead of trying to do anything about it, just observe over the next week or couple of weeks or however long you need. What kinds of routines and habits are you relying on or implementing through the day? So, for example, you might be scheduling breaks, but what you do on your breaks might not be refreshing your brain or re-energizing your brain. And this is really different for everybody. So, for example, my husband loves just like kicking back, stopping work for 15 and scrolling Instagram for 10 minutes. And then he's like, right, I'm refreshed. I'm ready to go. That does not refresh me at all. If I scroll Instagram or go on my phone during a break that I've scheduled, it really drains my brain and it leaves me foggier than before I started. So it's about observing what habits you have that serve you and what don't serve you. So social media is often just like a big habit for everybody. We'll go on a break or we'll, you know, go and sit down and have our lunch and we'll just whip our phone out kind of automatically. And it's a big habit that may not be serving you. Think about routines as well. It might be looking at whether we have some simple processes for things that we know on repeat or that we're able to whip out and reference to make things really streamlined for us when it comes to getting things done versus just kind of flailing about and, you know, looking up the login details every time and trying to find the email from our client that explains what we need to do and then piecing it all together and taking half an hour of time and probably more in brain energy to pull all that together. So it's looking at the things like that we have set up to support us or whether we don't. And Like I said before, are your routines actually serving you and helping you when it comes to your lifestyle goals, both in and out of your business? You know, there is no point in blocking your calendar to the minute and, you know, when your kids come in, you feel like you can't talk to them because you've scheduled yourself to the hilt and you have to make the most of these hours if your goal is to spend more time with your kids. So if, say, you have a habit or a routine of having lunch with your partner if they work from home every day, or, you know, going and hanging out with your kids if they're at your in-laws or your parents, or if they're somewhere available to you that you can check in with them, often we can feel guilty about doing these things, and it's really easy to do because there is so much expectation on us and so much pressure from all angles. And we can feel guilty if we're working while we have kids, and we can feel guilty if we're with our kids and we're not working. And it's really just about checking in with what kinds of things you're doing through your day and if these are aligned with the goals you have for the life you want to live. So those are three things you can do to help audit your productivity, figure out what your unique working style is, see the highs, see the lows, see what supports you, see what doesn't support you. And from there, figuring out where the gaps are and what kinds of changes and tweaks and productivity hacks, for want of a better phrase, will work best for you to support you. So if you enjoyed this potty episode, please share it with a pal who would like to be a little bit more productive every single day. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the truth behind the flow state. So getting into flow and how to optimize your working style so you can dip easily into flow just as easily as you're stepping into a bathtub filled with water and some sort of soap. Obviously. So that will be next week's podcast. I can't wait to share it with you. I will chat to you next week.